Good morning, our friends, and thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of Keys to Life Ministries. I'm your host and speaker, Minister Carey, and today we want to talk to you about some things that are happening around us, and of course, we want to give you encouragement in order to make it through another day, another week, another month, even another year. You know, as we look outside and we look around us, it really does seem as though there's nothing but defeat. Our participation in the political climate, our participation in society in general, to some degree seems to ask the question, well, why? What difference does it make? What difference will it make if I contribute one way or another? We have the tendency as human beings, especially those of us who are Christians, to want to live outside of what seems to be mainstream or what's normal, what seems to be the in thing, and following the in crowd. And that's a good way to live, my friends. We are on a straight path, and it is a lonely, lonely road at times. Sometimes you may feel as though no one cares about you at all. Sometimes you may feel as if you're the only person in the world. Sometimes you may even feel like giving up because you just can't find the purpose to go on. The reason for living, the power to exist, to keep on going. Well, I encourage you, my friends, to just continue to have faith. Put your hand in God's hand, and I promise you that He will carry you through. He will show you the way, because there is a way. There is a divine for your life, a divine design that He has. One with only your name on it. I can't follow your path and you can't follow mine. However, God has crafted a road for only you to walk on. Only your feet, only your shoes, only you can walk in the direction and the steps that God has left for you. I have my own road, and it seems like it's a very, very hard road. I may be a minister, an ordained minister at that, friends, but I am met with so much contention. I have contention in almost every area of my life, including my work life. I have contention on the job. I have contention in my brain, the things that I think about, the ideas that I struggle with. I have instances where I have to ward off the evil spirits that are attacking me and trying to persuade me to do something different, to go this way or go this route, do this thing or do that thing or see this thing or handle that thing. And it is a very, very difficult strain, a constant battle, friends. The easiest way that I can share with you to overcome these objectives that seem to be in opposition to God as they're presented to you in any form is just to say no. Friends, that's all you have to do is say no. The Bible does say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And a lot of us have to take that in mind and remember that that is the prescription. That is what we're supposed to apply when the enemy comes against us like a flood. We are supposed to raise up a standard and say no and stand on our principles. Just resist the devil and he'll have to run away from you. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will not return and come back. But for now, he will have to take flight. And when he takes flight, that will open up an area where you'll be able to think logically, you'll be able to pray openly, you'll be able to have some sense of self, and then you'll be refueled as you read the Word of God and you absorb the scriptures and you let the words of God be written across the tables of your heart. It will give you the ammunition, it'll give you the reinforcement, it'll repower you. And your resurgence will exist, and the next time the enemy comes back, you'll be even stronger. That's what this is all about, friends. It's all about the enemy accusing God that we only exist and live for God because God's protecting us. We will be tested. We will be tempted. We will have hard times, friends. We have levels of difficulty that we just can't explain in our lives today. We have so many unmet desires, so many instances where we've been brought to tears. We just can't understand why us. There's been a huge disadvantage from our vantage point. We're spirit-filled believers. We believe in Jesus Christ. We pray. We want the best for others. And it seems that the last will make its way to us. We are what seems to be the least concerned. And I want to encourage you, friends, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. The case is, and I want you to always remember this, is that we will be victorious and overcomers. We will be everything we never thought we would be once we reach the other side. When we reach heaven, we will know what this was all about. We will see that those tests that we were challenged with on this side of life were only meant to help us so that we can make it over. We're going to be okay, regardless of what you think, regardless of what you've heard, regardless of how it looks now. Trust me and believe me, friends, we're going to be just fine. And I wanted to share something with you, because it seems as though this battle that we're in, all assumptions and all points of perspective seems to say that we're losing. We're not losing, friends. We are only where God wants us to be at this time. We are placed, our feet are on a solid foundation as it regards our principles. And our convictions are firm. We will not be greatly moved. And it doesn't matter what the enemy brings. It doesn't matter what the enemy does. If the enemy comes against our belief and our faith, and our belief and our faith are built in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we stand on that, we stand on that faith, we will not be moved from that level of faith. That is what we live. That is what we know. That is all that has been instilled in us. And it's going nowhere. No opposition. No threats of survival. Nothing, nothing, nothing will turn us away from the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to come to that point in our lives where that profession of our faith may make a difference as to whether we may continue to exist or whether we will be home and sent home to be with the Lord. But it's okay, friends. I just want you to know that it's okay. Just stand on your convictions and don't let anything or anyone move you from that point. we have a great promise set before us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we have a home far, far away, friends. And we're going to end up there one day. When we slip over into eternity, we're going to end up in that place that the Lord Jesus went to prepare for us. Therefore, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And so, if you don't have a mansion down here, friends, well, you're going to have a mansion when you reach children in the glory. If you don't have a really nice vehicle to drive, well, you won't need one when you reach glory. You'll need gold street walking shoes, because the streets are paved with gold. You won't need the sunlight or the moonlight, because the radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ will light all the world. And you will be able to rest in the bosom of Christ. In all of the hurt and all of the pain and all of the opposition that you've experienced here in this life, it'll all be over. Hebrews chapter 2 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2, for if the word spoken of by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and obedience received a just recompense of reward, verse 3, how shall we then escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Those were the apostles. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So that's how the early church, they knew that the ministers, the disciples, they were men of God, because God gave them supernatural gifts for them to use in order to heal the sick, give sight to the blind. In some occasions, they raise the dead, friends. They get offered words of encouragement. They baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They took on the mind of Christ. And we're supposed to do the same thing too. Let that mind be in you, which was once in Christ Jesus. Because it's going to take the mind of Christ in order for us to have the ability to continue to stand on our convictions and on the foundation of the profession of our faith, because the enemy is going to come behind very soon, and the enemy is going to use signs and wonders, just like Jesus and the apostles used signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians, it says, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then that wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, this is verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, as far as us standing firm on our convictions and standing firm on our faith, verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That's the entire book of 2 Thessalonians. And that is an encouraging word in a discouraging world. And as I shared with you, friends, you're not defeated. God has a divine purpose for everything that he's doing through me, through you, with us. And it may be somewhat painful at the moment. We just don't understand, and we're looking for the promises of God, the ones that are result in yes and amen, and we can't seem to find those. Where are those promises? Why can't we reach them? Why are they so far away from our grasp? But we seem to be so easy to reach and get a hold of everything that's not good for us, whether it's a person, whether it's a thing, whether it's a something that we use to destroy our minds and our bodies, even those characteristics that are known as food items or staples. We tend to grasp hold of that thing that so easily besets us, and we need to bring ourselves under the inspiration and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, friends, it's one thing to be governed under your own will, and another thing to be governed under the will of the Holy Spirit. If you're governed under the will of the Holy Spirit, you'll find that life is not as difficult as it is when you're trying to live it out in your own strength. You can do it, but it's so much harder, friends, to live life that way. Take the path of least resistance, friends. And that is, allow yourself to be governed by the hand of God, who wants to hold your hand in His hand and take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. Where He wants you to be, you may not have ever thought of yourself in that role, in that position, in that environment. You have no idea where God intends to lead you, but God will take you to higher heights. God will take you to deeper depths. God will take you places you never dreamed you'd be. And I'm a living witness. It happened to me back in 2000. In the year 2000, at that point, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And next thing I know, it was as if, and it was God. And there were other people who actually said, that's God. God took me to where I was a nobody in my occupation, from a nobody to an engineer. God took me from an engineer to a chief systems engineer, from a chief systems engineer to a director of information technology. God has placed me in positions where I found myself in my home country of Belize as the chief operating officer of a television station. And even now I'm a director of technical services for a healthcare solutions provider. So God can take you to higher heights, to areas where you never thought you'd end up if it relates to your occupation. And for some of us, God will take us to areas where we never thought we'd land ourselves, in a wonderful family, with a loving husband or with a loving wife, and with beautiful children, and a single family home, something that's very, very nice. And I do believe, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I don't believe in that at all. But I don't believe that as children of the Most High God, that we have to live in poverty. I do not believe that that is the design for us while we're here on this plane of existence. I believe that if we petition heaven for the desires of our heart, God will meet us there. God will grant us the petitions if we ask Him in faith, and if they're in alignment with His idea and His design for your life, He will grant you those things. I just believe, friends. I just believe. And it takes belief. And then once you have belief, then you have hope. And then you get your hope, then it's elevated. You exercise faith. And we all know that faith is the substance of all things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. So God, being that supreme being, that holy Father who loves us all, that we have not touched, we have not handled, but we believe that He is, and we believe that His Son is the author and finisher of our faith, and He extends the way that leadeth to salvation by the extension of His hand in our direction. He has His hands extended towards the human family all day long. But the sad thing is that although the Lord has His hands extended, the human family has its hands and its arms folded and will not reach back out their hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's here to save and to set free, and to give hope, and to release those who are taken and are being devastated by devils. He wants to empower us. He wants to give us the mechanisms that we need in order to become victorious on this side of life. We don't have to be defeated, friends. We're not defeated. We are overcomers. It doesn't matter what's going on outside. It doesn't matter what's going on around the world. What matters the most is what's going on within you. What's going on within you, friends? Let the Lord Jesus penetrate. Give Him space to make you a better you. Take on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Attend church and ingest the elements of Holy Communion. And let the Lord clean you from inside and let Him purge you of sin and unrighteousness. Though your sins be red as scarlet, He will make them white as snow. Your transgressions, they may be red as crimson, He will make them as white as wool. Bring your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's only here to save you, friends. He's not here to do you any good. He's not here to do you any harm. He's here to deliver you. He's delivered me. And He's using you to reach out to you. Give Him place in your heart. The Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. And any who opens unto me, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him. So as Jesus knocks upon the door of your heart, don't keep the door shut. Open the door, friends. Turn the knob and open that door and let Jesus in. Let Him come into you. Let Him change your life around. Let Him empower you. Let Him give you love and compassion. Let Him satisfy your soul with the meat of the Holy Spirit. Let Him give you rivers of waters that will flow from you, that you would never thirst. Allow Him to be your Savior. Allow Him to accept you into the beloved. We're regarded as priests. We're regarded as ambassadors of Christ. We're regarded as brothers and sisters of Christ. But Christ referred to us as friend. He said, no longer will I call you servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But from this moment on, I call you friend. For all things the Father has made known unto me, I have made it known unto you. And so since we are friends of God, and there's actually a song that says, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And since we are friends of God, we don't have no problems with dealing with the spirit of opposition. Because the spirit of opposition is there to take us off balance, so to speak, friends. If we are balanced and we're standing firm, then the enemy will have no weapon that can be used against us that will prosper. If we have on the armor of God and we have the Holy Spirit, grace and mercy following us, there is nothing that the enemy can do with us. Although the enemy is going to try. So as we spoke about, God empowering the disciples with grace, power, and miracles. And then in 2 Thessalonians, we read for you that that when he didn't let it is taken out of the way, then Satan will deceive many. Lying signs, lying wonders, and miracles again. And in Revelation 13, it says in verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, that causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by that sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So, as you can see in the end times, which is where we are on God's timetable, friends, that the main enemy, the arch enemy of the Christian believers, will also conduct signs and wonders and deceive men that are on the earth. In fact, he's going to deceive them by way of those miracles, that he's going to have them make an image of the beast and worship that image. And as many as will not worship that image, they shall be put to death. But we will not bow to the beast. We will not allow ourselves to be persuaded to worship any other God than God the Father. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And what he meant by that is that we shall not bow down to any image, graven or otherwise. We bow before the presence of the Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the only one. He is all in all. He means everything to every one of us. And he made it possible for us to be redeemed back to him. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so, friends, we know that we have a great escape, because we can escape all of these things that are going to happen on earth as it comes to religious and spiritual persecution. I'm not saying that we might not be caught up in it. I am not at all insinuating that we might not come up in condemnation because of our faith. But what I am saying, that if it happens because of that reason, then we are to count it all joy when we find ourselves in any situation that tests our faith. Any season, any reason that we have to defend our faith, even at the cost of losing our lives, we will count it all joy, because it will not be long before we are saved. We will win, friends. There is no doubt about it. There is no mistake about it. We cannot allow circumstances or this paradigm that we exist in today called the world around us to discourage you, to make you want to win. We have to keep on moving forward, keeping our eyes on the prize. arise, and we accept them, and we are making our way towards the high mark of our calling. We are going to make a difference. Hand in hand, we're going to make it. We will hold our hands as we walk across the finish line. Victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been saved. We have been redeemed. We made it over. It was a long time. It was a hard battle. But we made it. And we're hope. We made it. We made it back. And we'll be able to rest in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Newness of life. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We have no idea the level or the magnitude of bliss, of adoration. Just you can listen to my message every single day. As long as the Word of God is penetrating your spirit and you become familiar with those words, they're being written on the tables of your heart so that when you need them, the Holy Spirit will bring all things into your remembrance. Friends, this is a very serious message. This is a message of hope for the believers in God the Father. This is a plea to those who are inclined to want to give up. For those who have felt as though you've run out of strength. You think that you're out of patience. You don't have anything left in you. And you just want to end it all. Friend, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. Pick yourself up and and let the Lord Jesus Christ heal you from the inside out. Let Him penetrate your heart. Let Him penetrate your mind. Let Him penetrate your inner being. Let Him have His way, friends. Let Him make you a better you. He's made me a better man. And I was right where you are right now. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to inspire me. He had to breathe that breath of life back into my existence so that I could have enough strength to go on and to continue on and to continue walking through the darkness of this world, so I can have the strength to overcome spiritual wickedness in high places, so I can overcome adversity, the bad times, friends. Right? So challenging times. The times where it seems as though, how did I end up in this place? I'm a believer in this place. How come I don't have at least what the average person has? Where's my family? Where's my family? Where's my children? Where's the spice? Level up. Settle. I don't feel settled. I feel complacent at times, but I do have faith, and I do have hope. And I do believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that at the end of this exchange, God has something greater for me, greater than I could ever thought or imagine, and that's what keeps me going. This is Minister I promise you, the future is going to continue. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send this message, that you would heal our hearts, that you would take us by the hand and take us to that level of faith and encouragement, and enrich our lives. Shine his light on you, smile.